Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
Galatians 6 verse 1 says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." So be humble about it, not acting like you missed a goody two shoes, all right? "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And then he says in verse 2, and I want to key in on this. He says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Let's read that out loud together. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." One more time. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So the principle or the law that of Christ is the master of all laws, and that is we love God with all our heart, soul, and strength, and that we love our neighbor as ourself. And so the principle of Christ here even goes beyond, let me say it like this, the law of Jesus. Because here he uses the word Christ. And Christ is not Jesus' last name, it is his title. It is his identity. Jesus is the Christ. That's who he is. His last name was not Christ. You wouldn't have met Jesus and said, "Hello, Mr. Christ." His title was the Christ. Now, let me say it to you this way. Jesus Christ is in heaven. He ascended to the Father 40 days after he was raised from the dead. Christ Jesus lives in the believer. Do you see the difference? Jesus Christ is in heaven. Christ Jesus is in me. He said, "Pastor, that makes no sense whatsoever." Well, let me explain. Christ is the identity of Jesus. It's translated the anointed one. That's what the word Christ means. It means the anointed one. So when you say Jesus Christ, you're saying Jesus the anointed one. Jesus proclaimed this of himself in Luke 4, beginning in verse 17, when he stood up and opened the prophet Isaiah in the synagogue that day, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me." So Jesus proclaimed himself to be the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. Jesus Christ, when you read in the Bible, Jesus Christ, you could translate that Jesus, the anointed one. But when you read in Scripture Christ Jesus, it could be read the anointing of Jesus. So Jesus, the anointed one, is in heaven. But the anointing of Jesus given by his Spirit abides in the believer. Do you see the difference? So Jesus Christ in heaven, Christ Jesus in me, in every born-again believer, by way of his Spirit. Now, Jesus says here, his word says, that when I'm bearing another's burden, when I become a burden bearer, when I'm assisting another or working toward lifting the burden off of another, then I'm fulfilling the law of Christ, the law of the anointed one and his anointing. He says you fulfill that law when you're bearing another's burden. Glory be unto God. Now, let's do this. Come over, if you would, to the prophet Isaiah. And I want to go to Isaiah chapter 10. The prophet Isaiah's Old Testament. And I want to go to chapter number 10. So, let's hold on to this, Galatians 6, 2. When I'm bearing another's burden, I'm fulfilling the law of Christ. Now, when something is fulfilled, and that was the word that was used there. When something is fulfilled, that means it is accomplished. It is finished. It is done. It is complete. It's satisfied. It's fulfilled. Make sense? So he says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill." You fulfill, you accomplish, you manifest the very law of Christ, the anointed one. When do I fulfill the law of Christ? When I bear another's burden. Now, that point of Galatians 6:2 was established in verse 1 with, we ought to bear one another's burdens. That was established with the statement, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. So he's saying, now everybody can't do this, that when a person's been caught in a fault, or they've been found in a fault, or they have a fault. He's saying, ye which are spiritual, you can go now and you can help restore that one that's been overtaken by his weakness, if you will. That's given opportunity for his weakness to take hold of his life. He didn't say fleshy, mean-spirited, abrasive folk walking in the flesh, restore him. He said, ye which are spiritual, you can restore that person. You can help bear his burden. And when you do, you fulfill the law of Christ. You know, I want to be sure that we understand in this series that every one of us have strengths and weaknesses. I mean, you may have went into this teaching thinking, man, I got to find my strengths. Man, I got to find my strengths. I want to find out who I am. I want to see, you know, what the Lord has given me. And we'll talk about that a little more. Or you may have went into this saying, man, I really feel like I know my weaknesses. Maybe something here is going to address it. Here's what I'm hoping you get out of this. Every one of us have strengths and weaknesses. And that are to give us some sensitivity to the body of Christ. Not a condoning, not an endorsement. We're not talking about here, you know, patting somebody on the back when they're walking in sin, saying it's okay, all have sinned. No, we're talking about restoration. We're talking about bringing that person back into a walk with God. We're talking about the person that's weak and they're struggling, and maybe their faith walk is struggling. Maybe they're struggling in their life, and the enemy is able to bring in temptation because they're right now just very vulnerable because they are weak, either physically or spiritually or mentally, and you know the enemy's trying to take advantage of that because you've been there too, where you were weak emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, and you know at those moments temptation comes and the enemy tries to lure you in, the enemy tries to make you quit, the enemy says, what is the use? And all of those voices get loud when you're weak, and when you know what that's like. So he's saying, in that position, we ought to bear one another's burdens. In other words, I'm going to help you bear this burden because I want to see restoration in your life. The Christian army is about the only one I ever heard of that when someone gets shot in our army and they're down, we kick them. We say things like, I knew she wasn't real. You know, something told me she was fake. Something told me he wasn't the real deal. See, we get on Facebook and talk about folk, and we dog folk out, and we kick them when they're down. We're the only army I ever heard of that will injure an already wounded soldier. We've got to learn how to be burden bearers and to go in and lift people up out of their weakness, lift up them up out of whatever it is that has them in bondage. That fulfills the law of Christ. Hallelujah. Now, When you and I are doing this kingdom walk and we're doing this, you know, trying to honor God and honor our spouses and honor our families and honor the Lord and walk in faith, we are all going to come through seasons of pressure and temptation. And thank God for brothers and sisters of Christ who walk this walk with us, bearing this burden with us, who show strength in the midst of our weakness. Can you say amen? Now, watch what the anointing of the Holy Spirit does and what it should be doing in your life and mine. Isaiah 10, verse number 27. He says, it shall come to pass in that day, read it with me, that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So the anointing of the Holy Spirit will remove burdens and destroy yokes. I'm going to say that again. The anointing of the Holy Spirit will remove burdens and destroy yokes. What is the anointing of the Holy Spirit? That's when the Holy Spirit rubs off on you an ability that you did not have without his Spirit. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, when you look at the anointing of the Holy Spirit, come over one chapter to chapter 11. When you look at the anointing of the Holy Spirit, there's seven anointings that the Holy Spirit gives off. In other words, seven anointings that he can impart to you. All right? Everybody got that? If you want to paint the chair and you go in the shop and you got white paint, red paint, and blue paint, unless you go somewhere and get some other paint, that chair is going to be either white, red, or blue, or a combination of the three, or a combination of two. Come on, somebody. So the Holy Spirit has seven anointings. If you go into the Holy Ghost shed, there's seven anointings there. And any one of them will remove burdens and destroy yokes, or a combination of them will remove burdens and destroy yokes. And here they are. Verse 2 says, "And the Spirit of the Lord," that's one, "shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom," that's two, "and understanding," that's three, "the Spirit of counsel," that's four, "the Spirit of might," that's five, "the Spirit of knowledge," that's six, "and of the fear of the Lord," that's seven. So there are seven anointings that the Holy Spirit will impart unto us. And in Luke 4, when Jesus stood up to begin his ministry, he claimed the first one listed. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me." Jesus just called on one of those seven anointings in that sermon that day as he read from Isaiah. The point I want you to see is that the Holy Spirit can anoint you with any seven of these anointings, or a combination of them all. And in these seven anointings is everything we need for life: wisdom, understanding, counsel. You say, "I don't know how to talk to people." There's an anointing called counsel. There's an anointing called counsel. There's nothing that you possess that the Holy Spirit cannot anoint and make you better at. Hallelujah. So when you look at the seven anointings of the Holy Spirit, You might say, "Man, if I could only talk to people, I just am not good at counseling people." Yes, you are. There's an anointing you can pull from right here called the anointing of counsel, where the Holy Spirit imparts unto you an ability so that you know how to counsel people. You say, "What does it mean to counsel people?" To advise people, to instruct people, to help people. That's an anointing of the Holy Spirit. And if you're born again, you have that in you. That is a strength that the Holy Spirit is able to impart to you. Hallelujah. Knowledge, wisdom, understanding. I tell our students at the academy, if anybody should be able to understand, you know, what's in a textbook, if anybody ought to be able to learn, it ought to be the born-again believer that's filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, "But Pastor, it's English, and he created all languages." But Pastor, it's biology, and the Holy Ghost made man. There's nothing that he does not understand. And when you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that opens up your understanding to whatever it is you've sought him for. Glory to God. Whether that's counsel you need, whether that's understanding you need, or whether it's an anointing that God has given you for another. But here's the thing. When you fulfill the law of Christ, you're using these anointings not only for your own life, but you're using these anointings to minister to the body of Christ. You're using these strengths to help somebody in a weak moment. Glory to God. And when I do, when I walk in that anointing, and I've done it before, man. I've just got into conversation with people, and then things just pour out of me, and I walk away like, "Where did that?" And I don't say where did that, I know where it came from. I'm like, "That was outside of me. That was the Holy Ghost that took over that conversation." Have you ever went to help somebody, and in your mind you felt like, "Man, I'm so limited. I don't know if I can really be effective." But when you walked out of that conversation, you say, "God, there wasn't nobody but you. I know you gave me those words in that moment." That is the anointing of counsel. And God will give it to you so that you can minister to your children. God will give it to you so you can effectively talk to your spouse. God can give it to you so you can minister to that coworker. There's no reason why the body of Christ should not be effective, because for every weakness we have, we've got a strength that will cancel it out. I can do all things through Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing that strengthens me. Glory to God. You ought to be achieving things that folk pull you to the side and say, man, how do you do that? And you say, brother, it ain't me. If you only knew what I had to work with, you would know I could have never produced that. That is the Lord that's working in me and through me, and to him be all the glory. Yeah, I have to recognize my weaknesses, because if I don't recognize my weaknesses, I'm not going to pull on his strength. Now, I got to say something, because I need you to understand this. And this is some people might, you know, understand this, and some of you might say, what? But I want you to follow this. Every born-again believer, and Romans 8 makes this abundantly clear. 1 John 2 makes this abundantly clear. That every born-again believer has the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ in him. Why do you need to know that? Because you need to recognize that the Anointed One, his Spirit is in you. He's in you. I feel like bad teaching on spiritual gifts have made a lot of people feel like they've been eliminated. No, we've got this bad teaching on spiritual gifts that says, oh, I don't have that gift. Well, I didn't get that gift. I don't have that gift. And we focus so much on not having a gift and being weak, all because we didn't do the cartwheel that the preacher said we had to go through to get the gift, and therefore we don't have a gift. And many people have walked away thinking, you know, I don't have the Holy Spirit. I don't have a gift. I need you to understand. If you've been born again, how could you be born again without the Holy Ghost? There is no being born again. When you were born again, Jesus taught in John 3, that was by the Spirit. That wasn't a natural birth. That was a spiritual birth. And if you're born again, if you've received the Holy Spirit and been born again, then the Holy Spirit in you has 7 anointings. Now, what I mean by that is, and what we must get, because many believers walk this earth not even knowing what's in them. They don't even realize the potential and the ability that is in them. If we knew, we would live different. We would act different. We would talk different. We would seek to walk in that anointing. But when you recognize that the Holy Spirit lives in you, when you call something anointed, once you use that word anointed, I had a pastor of a church in South Louisiana. He was up here, and he said, I hear you talk a lot about the anointing. He said, you know, I've looked through the New Testament, and I just can't find that. He told me that. He said, I just can't find that. I said, say what? He said, well, you talk a lot about the anointing. I'm just not finding it. I said, what do you mean finding it? He said, well, I don't see it in the New Testament. I said, you ever heard of Jesus? I wanted to be silly and facetious, you know. And I said, Jesus Christ. Every time you read Christ, you've just read the Anointed One. Jesus wouldn't even begin his ministry without proclaiming it. Jesus started his ministry by opening up the prophet Isaiah and saying, the Spirit. Matter of fact, let's look at it. Go over with me to Isaiah chapter 61. I want you to see this, because if we don't get this, then all we're ever going to do is run after all these self-improvement workshops that really don't do anything. Self-improvement, you got Holy Ghost improvement on the inside of you. You've got something beyond a new attitude. You can have a renewed mind. Hallelujah. All right, watch this in Isaiah 61. This is what Jesus read from in Luke 4. He said this, read it with me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me. You can stop right there. Let's read all that part again. Ready? Read. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Lord hath anointed me. Now, if you're one of the writers in your Bibles, you can put right there Luke 4. Because that happened in Luke 4, I think down in verse 17, 18. Jesus opened up the prophet Isaiah, declared that word on his life. Notice what he said. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me. If you're not walking in the anointing, you can't say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. There's a difference between the Holy Spirit being in you and the Holy Spirit being on you. And when the Holy Spirit is on you, that means what is within you has got on you. That's what the word anointing means. There's a difference between having a chair on this platform, natural wood, unpainted, and a can of paint sitting in the chair. You say, that's a red chair. No, it's not. That is a natural chair with what it needs to be red sitting on it. Or sitting in it. You say, I'm a Christian. Well, you might be a believer, but we don't know if you're a Christian. Well, I know I'm a Christian. Well, you're a Christian by how you want to define it. Folk this day and time want to call anybody that believes in Jesus a Christian. But if you went back to Acts 11:26, that's not how Christians were defined originally. Christians were defined by walking in the same power that Jesus walked in. They looked at Jesus, saw how he walked, then saw these men and women walking the same way. They said, wait a minute, that Christ guy, they're doing the same stuff? They are Christians. They were identifying these believers because they looked, walked, and did what Jesus did. Therefore, it merited the term Christian. You got folk call themselves Christians walking around burdened and yoked and not removing anybody's burdens or anybody's yokes. Matter of fact, they're putting burdens on people and putting people in yoke, talking about I'm a Christian. Christians remove, I did not say you were lost. I did not say you weren't saved. See, the mind will tell you, oh, he's saying I'm not a Christian. He's saying I ain't saved. I never said you weren't saved. I'm trying to get you to understand the terminology of Christian. A Christian is one that is walking in the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Because Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. So I need what's in me to get on me. I need what's in me to get on me. I need what's in me to get on my mind, to get on my mouth, to get on my body. There's might there, that's physical strength. He will give you the ability. That's the anointing. When the Holy Spirit gives you an ability you did not have before. Okay, let me ask you a question. Oh my goodness. Like I'm fighting up in here trying to get his word on here. Have you ever sat up under the word or read the word, whether you sat up under the word in your house reading the word or you were sitting in church hearing the word or sitting at home watching live? Have you ever been underneath the word and all of a sudden you saw something in the word that you had read before that you knew, but it all of a sudden was brought to life? And you saw it in a way you had never seen it before, and it did something to you it had never done before. You knew that was in the Bible, but you didn't know that's what it meant. And you're like, oh, I ain't never seen that. Have you ever had that happen for you? Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. Did you sense a physical, tangible touch when that revelation struck your mind? Did you sense it like down your spine? I mean, make your hair stand up, make your toenails curl. You felt it in your body. Has anybody ever had that experience? Look, that's the end. When the anointing moves, you sense it. You sense it. It's not just, see, you can have the Bible, and you can touch the Bible, and you can read the Bible, and still not get power from it. But when you get in the Word, and the Holy Ghost is on that Word, it transforms your mind and your body, and you leave changed. This isn't just a Bible lesson. This is a Word encounter that affects you spiritually, mentally, and physically. That is the anointing. See, you can write somebody's sermon down word for word and get up before a congregation and speak it just like you heard it, word for word, and folk not get anything out of it. Why? Because it is not the words of a man. It is not the sermon of a man that removes burdens and destroys yokes. It is only the Holy Ghost. You can duplicate the method. But you can't duplicate the result. You know, only the Holy Spirit can remove burdens and destroy yokes. Now, we're called to operate in that, in the spirit of meekness, bearing one another's burdens. Now, the areas of your life that you might look at and say, okay, I'm strong. It is likely that even those strengths come with a weakness. It's like a battery. It's got a positive and a negative. So you're bold. You're fearless. You never had no problem telling anybody anything. You say, man, I'm strong like that, Pastor. I will tell folk just like it is. I ain't never been shy. I'm bold. All right, that's good. That's a strength. We need some boldness. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. But if you're insensitive, then the people that need to receive from your boldness reject you because you're insensitive. So even though you have this strength of not being shy and timid, you know, you're bold, that weak, that the tendency of a person that's bold is they become very insensitive. And I could go through a list of things that we could look at as strength and find its weakness. So this series is not about populating a list of strengths and then populating one of weaknesses and then say, okay, if you have a lot in this category, you're strong. If you have a lot in this category, the prayer line starts right here. No, because we're all a melting pot of strengths and weaknesses.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.